Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live. The Edge of Reality here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all. And of course, Thursday just feels like one step closer to the weekend. So happy weekend to you all as well, even though I have to work tomorrow. But that's okay. Big show, as always, merge episode of Survivor we need to discuss. Man, you know, Priscilla was wrong in her prediction this week, last week. I just need to point that out right off the bat. And I was kind of right. Man, I'm really killing the game this year. We'll talk about that. Challenge, holy cow. The Redemption House is finally closed. When people leave the game, they're actually leaving now. This is making for an exciting end to the season. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about voice and so many other things. But before I get into anything else, I got to say hello and good evening to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Oh, it's going. You know, I'm just sitting here going through the Black Friday ads that are up and getting all prepared for the holidays. Can you freaking believe the holidays are coming up in a couple of weeks or starting? What's up?
I can absolutely believe it. I'm here for it. The one thing I was not here for was, like, I have Sirius in my car, and I was startled on November 1st when Christmas music started playing. That was like the only thing that threw me off. But other than that, I'm here. I'm ready for it.
I'm surprised that you just now heard Christmas music, because it's been going on for a week already.
Yeah, that's just crazy. But I'm a big Christmas music person, just like at the right time. There's like a window, and then I'm all about it. And then that window rapidly closes, and then I'm good for another year. And I've been thinking about the holidays a lot this week because, you know, I'm a big proponent of the Food Network shows. We don't talk about them a lot, but they exist, and they have things like holiday baking challenge and gingerbread house competitions, and I'm here for them. I will watch a gingerbread competition. I'm not ashamed of it. I will 100% watch it. So that's kind of up and ready. They just had they had Halloween Fours just ended, obviously. You know, I'm here for holiday Food Network specials. I really am, Priscilla.
I'm working myself there. I'll get there. Not quite yet, but I'll get there.
And just a reminder, before we say anything any further, you know, and I know Priscilla doesn't watch this show, but Great British Bake Off, big fan, love this show. It has captured America's attention in like a very interesting way. And I've totally like hopped on that bandwagon a few seasons ago. I don't know why it just happened, but anyway, season 9 is going to be on Netflix starting tomorrow. So I'm excited for that. I am, although I'm not spoiler, like if I get spoilers, it doesn't bother me. I will still watch a show, even though I know the outcome. But that's one show that I don't look ahead. I like to remain spoiler free. I like to remain spoiler free on that one. So, I don't know. I try to be spoiler free for all the shows that we talk about, because it would be lame if I knew the outcome of stuff and then I try to do predictions. It would not be okay. It would be, you know, it would be cheating. But every once in a while, I'm like, what happened? I need to know. But Great British Bake Off baking show starts tomorrow on Netflix, so be excited about that. One thing that I also don't know any spoilers to is Survivor. I do not look, I do not watch, I do not pay attention to anything. So you know that everything that I am saying is completely a prediction. I have no clue what's going to happen. That being said, we had our merge episode this week. Merge episode, which traditionally we see, you know, a threatening guy, a someone who is a challenge threat. And we got Elizabeth. We got Elizabeth. And I remember talking last week about this, Priscilla, that I thought that that Elizabeth was going to be in some trouble. We got some foreshadowing after the bed thing. And I predicted that she was going to be the one that goes. And I said, if it wasn't her, it'd be Angelina. And it was a very close Angelina. Well, to be honest, I don't know how close it was. Editing could have made it close. I mean, because essentially Elizabeth went out on a unanimous vote, which is, you know, I was thinking about this, Priscilla. A unanimous vote for Survivor is kind of rare. I mean, we're used to that kind of thing on Big Brother. But we don't usually have a shutout. When we get to, like, Final Six, Final Five, yes. But Final 13, 12 people that were not Elizabeth all voted for Elizabeth. That's we don't see that very often, right?
Well, probably not the last couple seasons, but, yeah, I'm sure we've seen it.
I was just kind of surprised that it was all and I have a couple of questions, not to jump the gun to the elimination, but let's just talk about that. We saw Gabby, we saw and you know, other Davids as well. They're kind of in a position. They're going into the merge. Davids are 6 strong, Goliaths are 7 strong, so they're immediately Davids are at an immediate disadvantage. I did not think, though, that they would necessarily vote along tribe lines. I thought that Davids could potentially sway a Goliath or two to move over to their side if they so chose. That being said, with the exception of Gabby, we didn't see the Davids really caring that Elizabeth was the one going home. We didn't see them trying to fight for an alternative person from the Goliath side. What do you make of that?
I don't know. Well, for one, I'm disappointed that I was wrong and that Elizabeth didn't go home. But I'm going to actually put this back at you. Do you think the Goliaths are going to stay strong? I mean, the way that they were in this particular one, they went ahead and said, I think they're going to fall apart and crumble the next week. I can't believe they didn't
do it.
Oh, yeah,
I agree. I mean, I agree with you. I thought, we talked about this a little bit last week, my prediction was Goliaths would go against each other as soon as possible, because that seems to be the Goliath way. When you think about it, it's people, you know, just by that label Goliath, they're automatically thinking that they're the strongest, most threatening people in the game. So I really thought Goliaths would do everything in their power to take out other Goliaths and use Davids as a way to do that. So
it looked like it was going to happen at first.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what we thought was going to happen. And even though I said Elizabeth, I more thought of it because last week that bed debacle happened and she had this certain edit that kind of was foreshadowing. But taking away reading the edit aside, you know, it was I don't think Elizabeth was a great move this week. I mean, we talked about and you mentioned how important mental health was in on the island, and when someone, we talked about this with the Natalie vote specifically, when I said, you know, why are you going after Natalie this early? She's not going to be a comp threat. She's not going to be a winner threat. And you said, well, you know, sometimes when people annoy you so much that it's like screwing with your mental game. You need to get rid of them sooner rather than later. I just don't see that as Elizabeth this round. I mean, am I seeing something incorrectly?
No, I don't. I mean, like, she might have been combative, but then again, you know, out of 100 hours, they only probably showed, you know, what actually really happened in a few seconds or within a time period of a couple hours. But, no, compared to Natalie, I wouldn't think somebody's mental health would be compromised that much to where you couldn't just hang on and get some of the big boys out. That just makes no sense.
Well, but then we have this other thing. So let's say, okay, Goliath goes, you know what, we have to be Goliath strong. One more vote just to really, you know, 7-5, then we can really do whatever we want. They start talking about Christian. Christian is a way stronger, more, you know, just more well-rounded competitor than Elizabeth is. For a lot of different reasons, he's better socially. Elizabeth didn't really have, you know, what allies did she have in the game? Lyrsa went out a couple weeks before. She really was someone that they could have used, anyone could have used as a vote down the line. Now, granted, like I just said, you know, she could be used as a vote if she wanted to be used as a vote. She had to be that person in order to do it. But, you know, Christian, on the other hand, he could have been someone to go out in the merge boot. He was the alternative person that they were discussing. If they had to choose a David to go out, I mean, why not Christian? I don't understand why you would choose Elizabeth to go out over Christian in this scenario.
And if Elizabeth is going to be annoying enough this week, she's sure going to be annoying enough next week or the week after to get her out. You know what I mean? Like, she'll always be a target ahead of yourself. Whereas Christian, like you said, right now is flying on the radar. And he might not be fantastic athletically, but he is better than most little quote-unquote nerds that have been on the show. But he does a lot of – he approaches things intellectually and the science behind it. And that out far weighs any physical compatibility that he would have for any of the challenges. So, because he saves time by, well, with the very first competition, him and I don't remember who, was it Larissa that did the comp, the very first comp? They approached by the science of it, and they were actually able to win. You know what I mean? And kind of even with the puzzles, same thing.
Well,
Chris has been there done. Sold on those puzzles.
Right. Well, and even taking comps out of the equation, and we saw in the first immunity challenge of the season for after, you know, individual immunity challenge, we saw a Dr. Allison win. And I thought that was interesting, and we can talk about that in a second, whether or not I wish Dr. Allison threw that challenge because she didn't need to win that. She didn't need to win that, but that's, we'll talk about that. But, you know, take away comps for a second. Christian is just miles ahead of Elizabeth socially as well, which is why Christian stayed in the game. You know, he has a strong bond with Nick. He has a strong bond with wrestler John. He has a very strong bond with Gabby. He has a strong bond with Dan, and socially,
and
you know, he's much more of a threat.
And is it Alex?
And Alex, yeah.
And they're all protecting him, so
And that's something, you know, I think about the editing, I think about foreshadowing. And that kind of edit that it was going to be between Christian and Elizabeth, and they chose Elizabeth, I feel like Christian, I feel more than ever that we see Christian in a final. I feel like almost like this was our last opportunity to take him out. Like, they spent a lot of time on this, it's either one or the other. And I feel like that's going to come back to play because they didn't necessarily have to edit it that way. They could have done more of a Elizabeth versus Angelina type thing. But, you know, the fact that they focused on this, well, Christian's a possibility, Christian's a threat, Christian's a strong, I feel like we see him make a deep run based on the editing. And that's, I don't know if that's true or not. I just feel like that was definitely his, like every winner or a lot of winners, we see that moment where they're like, we could get rid of this person, but no, we're going to go get rid of this person instead. And then the person that they could have almost went out is the person that goes deep in the game and possibly wins. That's just my take on it. And it aligns with our both want and prediction that a David wins the game, because we both want a David to win and we both predict a David will win. So that's Christian, I think, has gone to the top of my list as someone who could win this season. So
I thought that. Beginning, and you know what? I'm going to really reach on this. If you take the nerdiness out, give him a haircut, straighten him up so he's not so hunched over. He's not a bad-looking guy, actually.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. I don't think he's the nerd that – I mean, I think they dressed him up in a robot shirt. We know that casting chooses the outfits for – you know, the contestants when they go out to the island. I don't think that he's the quote-unquote nerd that everybody, like, that he, I mean, he's definitely that stereotype. He's definitely hitting that archetype. But I don't think that he's, I think in real life he is not always that guy.
Sure, I agree with that totally. They're definitely playing up the nerdness of it all.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like we saw, like, I feel like Christian's going to make a deep run. Here's the other thing that I was thinking about. And this does go into, like, weird spoiler territory because it was the one little thing that we saw. Alec, if you remember, Alec was the guy at the beginning of the season. He posted some pictures and gave some spoilers. Not spoilers in the sense that he said this person goes out this week, but he took pictures of some of the castmates to kind of imply that, you know, who he was close to or whatnot. And he pretty much violated the CBS contract. And because of that, he is not going to be at the finale. He won't be at the finale. He won't be at the reunion. He is not invited. And, you know, when I first heard that, I thought to myself, oh, he's a guy that must not make it very far in the game if he's not going to be at the finale. You know, even though he violated contract and it doesn't matter, that was just my first thought. I was thinking last night, and we saw him play like – I thought he did well last night. I thought he was playing a solid game. I think, you know, we saw where he was with an alliance. We, you know, he's kind of a central figure. Elizabeth went to him to kind of talk things through. He's really kind of emerging as one of these leaders of the Merge tribe. And I thought to myself, well, we're not going to have a jury member at the finale. And it's possible that we might not have a finalist at the finale, which is like weird to think about that he won't be there. And I wonder how they would deal with it. They have to deal with it better than MTV dealt with the Camilla situation.
I was just going to deal with it better than when MTV had a finalist in there.
Because I was like, I was trying to think of situations where that has happened, where, you know, a jury member, and I remember, you know, kind of things where, you know, a couple times people weren't able to be there. I remember like Brenda on a season of Survivor, she was pregnant, so she couldn't travel. you know, but.
But there's a difference, though. You know, she didn't violate, other than, she didn't violate any, like, contractual obligations other than what she did after the fact. So they had to give her the check. But since he actually clearly went against the contract, they don't have to pay him.
Well, that's true, too. That's a good point. So Camilla from the challenge, if you listen to our podcast, you know about the challenge. And Camilla from a couple seasons ago won her season of the challenge. However, and probably the craziest thing, lots of wonderfully horrible racist things came out of her mouth. They uninvited her to participate in all future challenges and go to the reunion where they announced where that was the season that they decided to announce the winner at the reunion. So when they announced the winner, she wasn't there to receive her prize or what have you. So yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point. If he were to win, or even place, because you get money for placing, you know, they don't necessarily have to give you that because you violated the contract, which would be a weird end of the season.
You know, are they going to fall through with violation of contract? Because contract is pretty hefty, like, for him to have to pay.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. To be honest, I haven't followed up on it since the show started, so I don't know if they're going to, you know, sue. I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of situations where they go through with it to that extent. I think that they just, you know, they won't invite him to the finale. I'm sure he'll never be allowed on that show or any other CBS show again, you know.
Right.
But maybe, I mean, he could be an MTV candidate down the road. But it'll be interesting if he were to place, because you're right, there's a good chance that he wouldn't get that money, and that would be a weird, super weird ending, right? I mean, we just got the vote last season between Wendell and Dominic, where they were like, this is the weirdest way to choose a winner ever, have the third place finalist vote between, you know, Dominic and Wendell. Well, that would be even weirder if it was like the winner of this season is Alec, but he gets no money. So, yeah. And they would have to still declare him a winner because they did it prior to the, you know, the contract negotiation. You know, they filmed it already after, you know, before he did his pictures on Twitter. So that would be weird. I don't think that happens. I don't think he's actually a finalist, but he's going further in the game than I originally thought he was, which is interesting. I wanted to talk about Dr. Allison. As I mentioned, she won the first individual immunity challenge. I don't like this for her. I think that she was in a good spot. You know, I think she was someone that, I mean, it's hard to tell because before the merge, she never had to go to a tribal council. Maybe she's been to one, I mean, besides the one that she just went to this past episode. Maybe she went, yeah, because the Goliaths lost, like, their second week. So she went to one previously. So she kind of has stayed out of the fray. But she's like she reminded me of like a Michelle, like from Quran, where, you know, you just kind of stay out of the way, you're nice to people, you win a couple challenges, and all, boom, you're in the final, you didn't piss anybody off, and you could be a potential winner. Her winning so early on, though, I do think it puts a target on her back. I do think that people think of this later on in the game. I don't think that she's going to go out in the next few weeks, but I do think that people will remember that she won this and they will be nervous later down the road. Thoughts?
No, fair enough. I agree with that.
Yeah.
So far, I'm not stunned or taken away or back with this season so far of Survivor. It's all right. But it's nothing the like mind blowing. I want something mind blowing. I guess it's been on for so long. I just want something mind blowing, which I think we enjoyed last season a lot.
I did enjoy last season. I mean, I liked the characters. I think we enjoyed the characters and the team fractioned, the tribe fractioned in a very interesting way. I think we enjoy the seasons where you have two or more warring alliances that have very equal players, so they have like an equal chance of winning immunity. They have an equal chance of like strategizing. I mean, that tends to be our favorite kind of seasons of Big Brother too, where it's like, you know, it's horrible to see one alliance just dominate another. And so we've gotten a little bit of that with the David versus Goliath so far. I still believe that a David wins. But I think we're gonna see a little bit of a steamroll until we don't. So, you know, that's not the most fun thing to watch. I also think there's a factor in the fact, and maybe this is not true, you tell me if I'm off base here, Priscilla, but the fact that we've had one medical evacuation and one quit, you know, it just kind of happened. So we kind of lost two people just randomly. So we've gotten to this merge in a weird way. We also lost some of the larger characters during the pre-merge. You know, we lost Natalie and we lost Jeremy. We lost some of those guys. And then finally, I think it comes down to this idea of the underdog, David. I mean, they have labeled this season. So whenever it doesn't go well for them, everybody is like completely bummed out. So, you know, David's are living up to their name. And, you know, it kind of bums you out when they don't do well. And so people might not be enjoying the season as much because of that. Thoughts?
Maybe. The people are, I suppose, likable. The one thing that I don't like with Survivor, and you're going to disagree with me on this, is they, especially when they have the three teams, and you always are one-sided on seeing one team more than the rest. And I just feel with Survivor, especially the last several years since they went to the three-team deal, we just don't get to know them until we're almost done with the season. And then we're like, what, where'd they come from? What? You know, whereas like with some of the voices or anything like that, they give us the packages about the people a little bit to let us learn about them, which I know you're not a fan of. But I feel like I'm at a loss when we come to the merge and there's people I've never seen before.
Yeah, you know, I think that they did a good job this year of introducing most of the people. I feel like we got some good introductions, especially that first episode because Pat left a medevac. You know, I think we got more character than we normally do. I feel like I know most of the characters at this point. I think part of the problem is there's a lot of similar people on the cast, and so you're, you know, like Angelina and Natalia and Kara are like essentially the same person, you know, and it's, you know, they're just kind of the same human being. Nick and Alec and Dan, they're all like, to me again, they're like the same person. They, you know, there's not a lot of I feel like there's not a lot of like major differences, and people that were like vastly different are some of the people that have gone home first. You know, Jeremy was different. Natalie was different. Elizabeth was different just as a character. And, you know, they're leaving as a result of that. And we're getting kind of this like hodgepodge of sameness now. So it's like Alec, Nick, Dan, you know, I could really care less. Cara, Angelina, you know, I don't really care about. They're like the same human being to me. So it doesn't really, I don't really care in what order they go out in or what they do or anything like that. You know, there's a couple surprises in there. I do like wrestler John way more than I thought I would. And, you know, I think he's different and I think he's a different character. But all in all, I think we're getting a lot of samey this season with a lot of the different characters. I also don't love, and it happens on most reality shows, so I should stop. It should not, like, surprise me, and it doesn't surprise me, but I don't love the cool kids, outsiders, you know, that kind of dynamic. I just feel like it's been played out. We got it immediately with, like, this Goliath season where, like, the cool kids, you know, came together immediately, and I just think that that's a dynamic that's been played out. I want to see something different. I want to see different types of people working together. You know, I want that kind of dynamic, and we're definitely missing that this season.
So what do you think about Alex brainstorming plan, you know, three Goliaths, three Davids? What do you think about the Under Alliance, and how far will it make it?
I like the idea. I think it makes a lot of sense in a lot of different ways. I hope that they make it far. Who's in that again? Who's in Strike Force? It's
Gabby,
Alec. It's
Gabby.
Yeah.
Christian.
It's Dr. Allison.
Allison, yeah. And who's the other David? Nick, there you go.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember the other Goliath.
Yeah. I like the idea of it. I think it would be fun. I think that, you know, they're at 12, six of them are in an alliance together. So, I mean, I think that they can do a lot of damage without having to do a lot of strategy if they just vote together.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how far they're going to go, though. I mean, out of the six, they seem like six people who are the least likely to kind of rock the boat personality-wise in terms of I can't see them going. You know, it's not going to be like a Detonators and a Devon situation where they have, you know, this dominant alliance and they're like, no, Devon is just crazy. Let's get rid of him now. I don't care if they're in a dominated alliance. I don't think of those six people. There's not anyone who, you know, they're going to be like, we have to get rid of them right now because they're crazy.
Okay, so with the premise of them going after Christian and Alex already kind of thwarting that off on this episode, do you think that that is going to make the group stand out a little bit or people catch on if they continue to defend or sway people from going after Christian?
I feel like if they catch on, it won't matter. It will maybe it will make a difference in the next vote because it'll be 6-on-6. I just don't think that they will. I think they can get through another vote or two without being noticed. I also don't think that Christian's going to be targeted. I think Gabby will look out for him.
And then if Gabby, will she throw a target on herself?
I think so. I believe Gabby goes before Christian. I think for that very reason. I think Gabby will be the first to go of those six people. That's my prediction. I think the first person they turn on is Gabby. But I think that they would be smart to hold on for a couple different votes. And then see what happens. I think it's important for the Goliath people to do that because that's exactly what you need to do. You need to use these Davids as leverage to get rid of some of these other Goliaths. You know, that's what they want to do.
True.
They need those demons in order to do that. They need to get rid of a Goliath next week. I also don't love that we have lost a lot of women in a row this season.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot. We're going like millennials, Gen X, where like we're going to hit like the final eight and it's going to be like Sunday and Jessica left and Hannah and that's it. You know, that's where we are. Remember where there was like three women left and like 10 guys? I think that's we're heading in that direction.
This is a bigger picture beyond just Survivor, but pretty much on any reality show where there is a competition. Why can women not stick together? Why do they not when guys do it all the time? What in the hell? They go on and they're such avid, you know, fans of these shows, and they can't just get their shit together long enough to win a game. What is the deal with that? It pisses me off.
I have thought about this a lot because it makes me crazy too. And the only thing that I can think of is that, you know, at this point, saying the words all female alliance is like such a negative connotation. It's negative for the men, obviously. It's negative for certain women who don't want to work with other women. And I think if you don't call attention to it and you just do it, like that's how I think it's going to work. I think if you don't say we're an all female alliance, you know, I think if you just have a female alliance and it just is, I think that could possibly work. But I think the second that you draw attention to it, all the men are like, oh, God, the women. Oh, God, we got to get rid of them. And then other women start getting crazy.
It's the freaking women opening their damn mouths to the guys. And they can't keep their mouths shut. The guys will never catch on. They're oblivious because they're so into themselves. Very strong women, they just couldn't work together.
I think just from the perspective of casting, they need to have like that one woman who like doesn't like working with other women. And in that situation, you know, alliances are only as good as their weakest member. Yeah, let me take, for example, not to go back to the Big Brother well, but we will. But let's take, for example, Felte. You know, Felte, yeah, who on paper seems like an incredibly strong alliance. They were winning comps. They could make decisions. Their weakest member was Caitlin. And Caitlin turned on them second week and essentially destroyed their alliance. I mean, don't worry, lots of other fun things happened where they continue to destroy it in many different ways. But, you know, this idea that Caitlin was HOH and they had this chance to continue to dominate, and she went ahead and turned it around and voted another member of Falte out, like, that's your weakest link right there. And so all it takes is one woman to go, oh, you know, I want to work with the guys instead. Oh, you know, working with and then they blow the whole alliance, and that's the end of it.
Well, come on. It's not working with the guys. It's like trying to get with the guys, and that's the difference.
I don't think so. I disagree with you. I don't think it's trying to get with the guys. I think that, you know, there's certain women that believe that.
Caitlin in that situation,
absolutely.
And even Sam says no, but Sam got jealous and Sam sent people home for absolutely no reason other than she was jealous of him. I mean, it's just, don't get me going because it's starting to question.
Oh, absolutely.
Right,
and those are examples of where that was true. But I do think the vast majority of the time, it's not about, you know, because I want to be with this guy. I think it's because I'm vulnerable and, you know, women are taught to like, oh, well, the guys will protect us. So I'm going to go work with the guys and they will protect me. And so that's, you know, all it takes is one person. It's just one weak link. So, you know, I believe that if they just don't call attention to it, and women just start working together naturally, and they just do it, you know, and they're not like, we're an all women's alliance. Maybe it will work. We've seen it happen. We've seen it a couple times on Survivor. It's not unheard of.
No, but it's definitely not a norm. It's definitely something.
Oh, it's definitely not a norm. It's definitely not a norm, but it's not unheard of either. It's not unheard of either. So it can definitely happen, but it ain't happening this season. I'll tell you that much. Yeah.
If we think it's a David, do we think it's going to be a female or a male?
Right now, I'm saying Christian is the most likely candidate. If it's not Christian, I could see Nick. I just don't see the women left. Who are the women? The David women left. Gabby. Gabby is, I don't see Gabby winning. And I think she's the only female David left.
At first I thought that Christian would go really far, and I'm thinking that Nick will go further.
I mean, at 13 people, we just lost Elizabeth. Elizabeth was the last, you know, Elizabeth and Gabby were the last Davids,
right.
Female David. And then from the Goliath tribe, we have Cara, Angelina, Dr. Allison. And I think that's it. So out of a tribe of 13, and now it's a tribe of 12. There's eight guys. Dr. Allison, Angelina, Cara, Gabby. It'll come to me, but it's I can only name those four women at this point, because the guys are Christian, John, Alec, Nick, Mike White, Carl, Davey, I'm missing. There's one person that I'm missing. Whoever that is, it has like no, I have no memory of them. So I apologize to the one person that I'm forgetting about. So, you know, it's four women and eight men essentially. So it's not great odds. So of the guys, I would say Christian or Nick. If a Goliath wins, it'll be interesting. I don't know. I can't even begin to tell you who I think it would be if it was a Goliath. But only time will tell. Let's switch gears. Let's talk a little challenge. I said that we would do that. We got, you know, the retention house is finally closed. Thank God. I understand why they did the redemption house, because they want to keep teams in the mix for as long as possible. You know, they want to keep Johnny Bananas in as many episodes as you know, possible. They are in a lot. There's been a lot of episodes this season. But it, you know, I'm ready to see people leave the game. I'm ready for this to happen. So we saw that. We saw three teams leave the game this week in a series of competitions. I have to say, again, I said this last week or the week before, I am digging the challenge competitions this season. I really liked all three, even though the one with Nelson and Sean and Johnny and Tony was very old school, you know, very just muscle, physical competition, who can grab the thing out of the other's hands. I've always liked those challenge competitions. I've always liked some version of that competition when it comes to an elimination round. So I was cool with that. I dug the math puzzle peg wall. I thought that was kind of cool. Cam, again, just proving why she's Cam. Like, She is just super underrated in terms of strategy of the game. She needs some social. She needs some friends to back it up. I think that's the one piece that she's missing. But man, strategy wise, she's probably my favorite female cast member in terms of being able to strategize. Just the idea of she looked at the puzzle and she was like, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to go up on the wall and do it. I'm going to figure it out on the ground and then I'm going to place the pegs. Well, Kaylee's going to place the pegs. I mean, that's what won them the game. That's how they won.
Sure. So, sure. And she is definitely a gamer. She was on Are You the One, and she was very gamey then, too.
Now, if you remember, she was on Are You the One, and she was on the season that they lost. And she found her perfect match early. And I believe that if she was in the house, maybe they would have won the game. But she left the game, you know, because she got her perfect match. So she was out of the house in that honeymoon suite. So, you know, she's very gamey, but she's very gamey in, like, the best possible way. Like, she's not gross about it. She's not bitchy. She's just a gamer, and I appreciate that. So I like her. I want her to be on many more challenges, and I hope she finds a way. I think the missing piece to her game is social, and, you know, she needs to make some allies in this game. And then I think it's going to be hard to stop her when she does. So I'm looking forward to that. But like I said, I dug both competitions. I'm glad that Brad said that crew is finally out of the game. I'm glad that Nelson and Sean are finally out of the game. Sure, not Sean, Shane are out of the game. I feel like they've been kind of out of the game for a while, and this just cemented it. So I was good with that. The boulder, I thought was, again, really cool. Physical, but some strategic parts of there of how what course they're going to take. And I like the idea that just like the last one goes home, even though it was Cam and Kaylee, and I was bummed out about that. I'm just happy that we're kind of rolling along. But Sylvia and Joss made a great point this episode, and it's the reason why I think I'm weirdly rooting for them to win, even though I don't particularly like either one of these people. They are the only people in the house at this point that did not go to redemption and were not like Hunter and Ashley came in as that mercenary team. They have been in that house since day one. And I want them to win because of that. I don't like, you know me, I don't like a comeback kitchen. I think like when you're gone, you should get an asterisk, you know. But they're the only team out of all of these teams left that has been in the game for this amount of time. And I want them to win, Priscilla.
How many teams are we down to now?
We're down to five.
Five teams. Why does it feel like more?
Well, we started the episode with eight, which is probably why it feels like more.
Yeah, it feels like there's more. Yeah, but half of them weren't even in the house, though. They were at redemption, so. And I want to say one thing about Cam and them. It really sucked that they worked so hard to get back in the game to turn around and lose at the next episode or next challenge. But anywho.
Yeah, that sucks. That wasn't their comp. As soon as I saw it, I was like, well, they're out. They're out. But if we could use them as a mechanism to take out Brad, I was happy about that. Like, if that's what we needed to do.
I was more happy about Kyle. I was more happy with Kyle going myself, but.
Well, true. I'm not a big Kyle fan. I'm not a big.
I liked him the first time, though. I did not mind him the first one he was on. I didn't at all. I didn't mind him the second one, really. But this one just, he's an ass. Just like most
Well, yeah. I mean, do we remember that at the beginning of this season, Brad's girlfriend Brittany was on, and
right.
There was a whole thing where Brad like lost it because Polly told him that Brittany was cheating on him with her Are You the One ex that I can't even remember his name right now. You know, that happened like back in July. That happened. And so I didn't love Brad this season just from his reaction to it and the whole thing. But we used Kim and Kaylee as a mechanism to get them out of the game. So I was okay with them going home immediately after. I was okay with it. But I'm team Sylvia and Joss right now.
Any spoilers at all on the challenge? Because
no.
I haven't either. So why does my gut say Polly?
Well, that would be, if Polly and Natalie win, that would be insane, considering
it would be Polly to win it, and Natalie would be a tag along. Let's get for real.
That's absolutely true. But that being said, it would be amazing just because it's Polly's rookie season. Natalie's been on only one additional season. You know, rookies, I mean, Jenna, one of the reasons we love Jenna is because she, on her first season, made it to finals. You know, I don't know if we've ever seen a rookie win on their first time out. It's a possibility, but I also think, you know, if they win, there's a big asterisk there because they, you know, they were in Redemption House for most of the game. They were in Redemption House.
Exactly.
A week.
And honestly, if he gets there, Redemption House is why he stayed so long.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Redemption House and Davon and Jose are the reasons why they stayed so long. You know, that would be the reason. Like I said, I don't know if Sylvia and Joss will win. That's who I'm voting. Like, that's who I'm rooting for. That being said, we still have Johnny and Tony in this game. I could see Johnny and Tony winning. I don't really see Cara Marie and Marie winning. I just don't think Marie can hang in a final. So I don't really see them winning. Hunter and Ashley, I think, have a pretty decent shot too, because Hunter is really strong athlete. So is Ashley. And, you know, Ashley's won a challenge before, so it's not like it's this unheard of thing.
That's their communication skills. And in a finale, at some point they're going to separate into individuals. But for a part of it, they're going to have to communicate, and they can do that.
Yeah, but I think that they're better than some. I think that they would be able to communicate better than Joss and Sylvia, for instance. I think that they would be even Cara, Maria, and Marie. I think Marie is going to get stressed out, and I think they're going to have a hard time. I think John and Tony are going to do well with it.
They have become such great friends, which leads me to believe that they are in the finale. I'm not finale, but like the final couple that win first or second.
I think that they came. This was like a friendship of convenience. I think if like looking at Twitter and stuff, I don't think that they're like friends anymore. I don't think that
anymore.
That is happening.
Well, they were pretty tight a couple of weeks ago. Cara Marie was still talking very highly of her when she was on a live thing.
I can't watch
her live, but Natalie had even come on and they did a live. And then I think shortly after that's when Polly showed up and then he's been with Kara ever since, traveling around.
Is this a, this is a one where only one person wins again, right?
I honestly don't know. I haven't been following like any spoilers or anything, but usually it does. I mean, usually it splits off.
I'm trying to remember if they've
said. I can see with Vendettas them doing something about, like, you know, kind of like with Bananas and Sarah. I can see something like that very easily with
that
Vendettas.
That was absolutely my first thought. Like, you know, you would, you know, something where you have the finale, you have these points like Sarah and Johnny had, and then at the end, whoever has the most points has to decide if they split the money or keep the money or, you know, do, you know, I can totally see something very similar to that happening.
They got their money out of that because they still talk about what Johnny did to Sarah. So they got their money's worth out of that. I can see them doing it again.
I can see them doing it again, but I just, do you think Johnny would do it again? Do you think Johnny would do it?
Absolutely, because then he'll say, well, remember what you did to me last season, Tony? For sure. Let's get real. When it comes down to it, Johnny's out for Johnny. But Tony knows this, and Tony won't let that happen.
Yeah, I could see Johnny.
Let's get this straight. Johnny trained or mentored Tony, so Tony knows Johnny's game. And the thing that he was so pissed about coming into this season is he got by his underling. And so, yes, Tony will, I don't think it will happen because Tony will see it coming. I think that Tony, I might be giving Tony way too much credit, but he has come a long way in the last three seasons of playing the game.
I agree, but I think theoretically, let's say they do it the same way or a similar way that they did it last time, I think Johnny can beat Tony in competitions. I don't think Tony will necessarily have that choice at the end. You know, I don't think Tony, you know, if you get the most points.
If it is a full brute, like, but you normally it's a combination of the two, and if it comes down to puzzles, Johnny and Tony both suck at them, so that would be a toss-up.
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too. I think that will definitely be their downfall. You're absolutely right about that. I weirdly see out of all the teams remaining, let's say, and again, we don't know spoilers, so this is completely hypothetical situation.
Right.
But I the only team that I think would split would be Paulie and Natalie. I think they would actually split the money. I think that maybe Cara, Marie, and Marie would. Maybe.
I think so. At that point in the game? Yes, I do think so.
But I don't think the other three teams would. I think that Hunter and Ashley would split. I think Sylvia and Joss would not. I mean, I think Hunter and Ashley, one of them would take the money from the other. I think
Ashley
Joss and Sylvia,
money.
One of them would take the money from the other.
Sylvia
and Johnny and Tony, I think that too.
And Johnny would. Actually, at this point, Tony might too. But if they both say the same, then they lose the money. So, I mean, if they both say that they're not going to split it and not take it, you know
true.
What I mean?
If they do something like that. Yeah, that's true. If they do something like that, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, and I just don't see. My instinct is saying only one of them wins. I don't think that it's going to be like, yeah, you each get $500,000. Congratulations. I think there's something more sinister there.
I'm actually, now that I think about it, I think that they would have the two and do something like that. I really do. Because with it being the end of Vendettas, of their three trilogy, they want them to go against each other. And that's how, you know, you really think that they're going to end the trilogy on a note that one person wins and not having that again. I just don't see. I could see the female or a two team or a team winner situation.
Let me say this. I think if Johnny and Tony, let's say Johnny and Tony win and Johnny has the say and he ends up keeping the money. I think that should be Johnny's retirement. Like, this should be Johnny's last season. Like, I think that is the high he goes out on. Johnny is, you know, one thing we didn't talk about, and we're running out of time, but we can go over a minute or two. It's okay. Extended bonus podcast. Yay!
We can do what we want to.
One of the things that I noticed is that, like, Johnny's having a harder time. That, like, after they did that comp between Shane and Nelson, the man could barely breathe.
Tony couldn't either, and he's a hell of a lot younger.
True. But I'm just saying, like, you're starting to see, like, the Johnny is weakening. Like, let's be real. He's not, you know,
he's creeping up on 40, you know, so for God's sake, he's got to retire at some point, even though he won't.
I think he's older than me. Yeah, I think Johnny's older than me, yeah. So I think that if there's a situation where he wins and he takes the money, I absolutely think that's his swan song. He needs to leave on that high.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Johnny, I can see, you know, I can see him taking over for TJ and hosting. Like, I can see
for sure
him doing that.
They'll make a spot for him.
Well, right, exactly. I think he needs to be that guy that leaves on a high. He can't be the guy that, you know, goes home early on these seasons, because then the luster will start to wear off. So I think
he's got
other
things going. He's got a show doing. So I mean, he's doing other things. So
exactly.
If the show works, that's another thing.
Well, exactly. So I think that if that's where he is, I think that if he wins this one, he needs to, like, sail off into the sunset. Just be like, I'm done.
He won't.
You know?
He won't. That's his livelihood. He won't. But what age did Mark Long retire at?
Probably around Johnny's. I think he was in his late 30s.
I don't know why 38 is sounding that same, you know, out of my brain. And didn't he have, like, a whole season thing, like, this is my last season, I'm retiring kind of thing?
Yeah, he did. So you're right. Maybe they will have, like, a Johnny's swan song season. You're right. I'm sure that they'll do something like that. Oh, God, please, if that's the case, if they do, like, a Johnny swan song, I hope they do a season where they bring back, like, just, like, a ton of vets, like, old school, like, you know. Because it's going to be, like, the end of, like, old school when Johnny retires. So I want them to come back. I want there to be, like, there's Coral. There's, you know, I just want Coral to come back. Like, here's Ruthie coming back challenge. Here's, you know, here's, you know, all of these people coming back. I would enjoy that. I know that's probably not going to happen, but I will enjoy that. But, yeah, I think if Johnny wins, this needs to be it for him. So we'll see what happens. I do think, though, I think Polly and that, the one team that I am, like, the most sure about will split is Polly and Natalie. I think they split the money. I think they do that. But
Sure. Everyone
else, I think, is fair game where one takes money from the other.
I don't see. You're right. Polly is a dick, but he is not a douche. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. I also think that Natalie and Polly just have a different bond than all those other people. You know, they were on Big Brother together. They've experienced different things together. I think they get it. I think they get it long term. You know,
if Tony and Bananas do not win, that's a joke, because they totally stacked it for them to win. There is no other team that has a guy, strong team. Just saying.
What's Kyle and Brad?
Okay, true. Oh, and anyways, did you put that all together, though, that Devin was originally Banana's rival, but his dad died. That's when Tony stepped in, came. Did you figure that all out?
Did you not figure that out?
He was there, and then he got the call and had to go.
And then he came back, and he was with Corey. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. And I totally forgot that Johnny's original partner didn't show up. I totally forgot that was a thing.
And it was a very odd thing because it kind of like, well, okay, something else put Bananas, you know, on top. And, you know, in the first episode, nobody even questioned it. They didn't even make a big deal of it, probably because of the situation. But could you imagine if Devin and Bananas was a team?
Yeah. Oh, it would just start quickly.
Season. I want that to happen. I'm sorry.
I wonder who. So I'm assuming then Corey was going to be back as the mercenary. I wonder who, like, that original person, like that second mercenary was going to be.
My guess is Tony was going to be a mercenary because he would have been there. But they still had to wait a couple of days, so I don't know if that would be true or not. But it doesn't make sense. Why, if they had Devin and Bananas, why didn't they call Corey and have Corey and Bananas be rivals? It makes so much more sense than Tony.
Well, maybe it was a timing thing, too. I mean, I don't think the mercenaries are there at the same time as the other people.
I just talked myself out of that because we still had to wait a couple episodes in, which was a couple of days in before we got Tony. So, no, there was nobody there. But he could have been in transit. Does that make sense?
He could have been in transit, yeah. He could have been in transit. I don't know. I kind of think, almost like Survivor, they have, like, alternates ready to go. So it's kind of like, all right, Tony, you might not be on this season, but you're an alternate, so, like, stay tuned. Like, stay ready to go, you know, kind of thing.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I totally forgot about that.
I just didn't know anybody else through that, because I hadn't said anything because we really haven't talked about challenge yet a lot. But as soon as Devin and those guys came on and then they were talking about his dad and then he said he had to leave, I'm like, aha, he was really Banana's rival.
Well, yeah, it makes a ton of sense, and I would have loved to see them as rivals. You're absolutely right, but I totally forgot. I whatever happened in July through like October of this show, I do not remember.
I was just on there like reviewing because I was trying to like look up the episode that I missed because I thought I missed one, but really I didn't miss one. There was just so much in between. You're right; it did start in July. This is one freaking long season.
Yeah, it started in July. Yeah. I mean, I think we're at, we're definitely at least 15 episodes, if not more. I mean, it's a long season. And from an MTV perspective, it makes sense because, you know, instead of doing, you know, 90 of these a year, do like two really long ones that takes up most of your year and you only have to give out prize money twice a year, you know, stretch it out and give more prize money.
Look how many holidays it's got us through.
it's going to take us up to Thanksgiving. Yeah, because with five teams left, and then they'll do a reunion. They'll probably do a multiple-week reunion. I mean, it will definitely go. It will definitely go to the week of Christmas, if not longer. I don't see them going through like January. We'll definitely. I think we have at least another like 5 weeks in there.
I'd say four tops, and then maybe a week off with Thanksgiving, because you got five teams. They could take it down pretty quickly, even with a dual reunion. That would be, you know, I'd say 4 weeks tops. Like I said, with possibly that week off for the holiday, but I doubt it because they air on Wednesday, which is the night before Thanksgiving. So I can't see them doing anything special.
Well, no, the show airs on Tuesday, so they could conceivably.
Excuse me. It used to be Wednesday. Excuse me.
Yeah, I think they could conceivably air it. But I think it just depends on, it's kind of like Real Housewives. You never know how many weeks of reunion they're going to have. Sometimes they do it in 2, sometimes they do it in 17. You just never know, like, how much material they got for reunion. So I think it's going to depend on how many weeks. I sure as hell hope they don't announce the winner at reunion, but it sure looks like that will happen, right? That's the trend.
But I don't know why.
Yeah, before we leave for real, also, speaking of Real Housewives, Atlanta started this week. Atlanta started this week, as did New Jersey. So for you Housewife fans out there, both of those, like, they just popped up on my DVR, and I was like, oh.
Yeah,
I completely had no idea.
I missed them until I seen Nene on Watch What Happens Live, and then I'm like, oh shit, I better go set those records.
I season passed them, which is great. And I'm very, thank you, Bravo, for not changing titles of seasons, so they always season pass for me. Unlike Survivor, when they change the title, I have to re-season pass them. But I was like, what? Atlanta? Like, what, New Jersey? And, and we still have OC, so that's
so,
a lot of Real Housewives. I haven't watched either one of them yet, and I don't know. That might be one that builds up on my DVR, and I might watch it during the holiday break. We'll see.
Did you see the new NBC with the Rock, or Dwayne Johnson, whatever the hell his name is? It's like a show right up for you. What is it called? Starts with a T. Frick. You're gonna like it. It's like, I think they're trying to make it kind of like a, what's that? The Spartans, kind of similar. I think it's really similar to that. Let me see if I can find the name really, really, really quick.
And then also, remember that one while you're looking for it. Remember that show that Rock did back in the day on, like, USA, where it was people like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I like that. I thought that was good.
I do too. The Titans game. Titan game.
Oh, okay.
And there's a trailer on NBC that you can watch if you like it or not. And also, isn't The Amazing Race coming up? Isn't that start next couple weeks?
Oh, is it? Holy cow. I thought that Amazing. I would be surprised if they start Amazing Race before the holidays. I'm sure they'll start it right after Survivor.
Why did I think it was at the end of November?
No, last year what really worked for them was that Amazing Race took over the Survivor slot during that off period of time between Survivor seasons. And I think that worked out really well for them. So I could see them, I mean, unless they do Celebrity Big Brother during that slot, but I think that's where Amazing Race is going to go. I think I think early January.
You think?
Is when we'll get that. Yeah.
Trying to see if I can. Oh, well, I thought it was coming up, but maybe not. I could be wrong. Because isn't that the one with, like, Rachel and
the Big Brother versus Survivor, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I guess we'll figure it out. Anyways, you have a lovely weekend, buddy.
Well, hold on. Now I'm looking at my little handy-dandy guide here.
Now it's bothering you.
There's a reality show called Real Country that I think you're gonna like.
Really?
Yes, hey. It's about country bands.
This is saying now they've moved it. Is it season 31? Will not air till spring of 2019.
Yeah.
Updated yesterday.
Yeah, that makes the most sense to me. That's what they're going to do. They're going to do it in that time slot of between survivors. That just makes the most sense to me. I'm so glad you made me look at this.
We haven't
been able to look at the schedule, though.
Well, yeah.
Well, because things are coming up that I didn't even realize. Like Top Chef is coming up in early December, which I was just thinking about the other day. I'm very excited about this. And that's kind of perfect because we need, you know, that time of year, we have nothing. So I'm very excited that we have a Top Chef coming up.
I did see that. And you need to actually set your DVR for CMT because that is where Travis Tritt, Shania Twain, and if you look on our Facebook page, you would have been able to know all about it. And, here it is. And who is it? Jake Owen. It was the other person. And it airs on November the 13th. And actually, I take it back. It's not CMT. It's USA Network. So
USA,
there.
That's what I'm saying. I
You don't have to watch CMT.
Yeah. We'll see. Although, the other day I saw a commercial for CMT for Racing Wives, which is kind of like the Basketball Wives, like VH1 franchise. And I was like, maybe. We'll see. And it like that also happens in December. So I'm like, maybe. Maybe I'll be so hard up for shows on December. This is what I'm going to watch. We'll see. We'll see what we get to. By that time, there might be some international shows that I need to catch up on. We'll see. All right. That being said, we are out of here. I'm glad that you got some extended bonus coverage of our show. Hey, follow us on Twitter, will ya? I'm at Reality Allie, Reality A-L-L-I-E. Priscilla's at P-S-I-L-L-A. And I'll like us on our Facebook page at The Edge of Reality. And we will be back next week for more reality TV talk and whatever else we can think about. Have a good weekend, everyone. Have a good night.
Night, everyone.